Today on Real Radio.
What glorifies God? What glorifies Him? Did you know that there's no greater subject in all of the world that we could discuss than what glorifies God? And it's amazing to me right now, just by me making that statement, or somebody hearing this by tape, they might think, oh yeah, well, it's not that big of a deal to me. Glorifying God, it will become one.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in chapter 12, which is the part of this New Testament narrative that recounts the part of the early church history where Gentiles are grafted in, as the phrase goes. Herod had been engaging in some politically expedient activities. And in the passage we're about to look at, he crosses the line. Then something unusual happens. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, beginning a mini-series called What Glorifies God?
Boy, what a study I hope this turns out to be. It is definitely one that I can just warn you up front right now that is just, I think, cutting to the heart. If you are visiting Calvary Chapel for the first time, I need to put this up front. We go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we're glad that you're here. There's no greater thing that we can do as Christians as to study the Word of God. Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And so we're going to be studying the Bible, and I tell you that up front because we're going to get into some things this morning that are definitely convicting. I've been convicted ever since I opened up the study and prepared. And so you might, by the grace of God, actually be convicted as we go into this. It will probably turn out to be a study that we spend a couple of weeks in just by nature of what it has for us. But in Acts chapter 12, we've been studying and been looking at some of the things that have been taking place in regards to Peter's arrest. Remember, Peter was arrested and he was held in prison there. And then by God's intervention, an angelic being came and set him free. And we looked at the supernatural workings of that last time together. But this morning we'll cover verses 20 to 25 and we'll read them together right now and then come back and look at them more closely. Where the scripture says there, Acts 12, verse 20, "Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not a man.' Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord, verse 24, grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled the ministry, and they took with them John, who's surnamed Mark." The study is this morning entitled, What Glorifies God? And that is a title, and this is a portion of Scripture that's absolutely pregnant with avenues that we can go off into to answer this question, what glorifies God? What glorifies Him? Did you know that there's no greater subject in all of the world that we could discuss than what glorifies God? And it's amazing to me right now, just by me making that statement, or somebody hearing this by tape, they might think, oh yeah, well, it's not that important to me. You know what? It will be. You may sit here this morning and say, well, it's not that big of a deal to me. Glorifying God, it will become one. The great issue of all time is what glorifies God. You need to know that. You, no matter what your level of faith might be, or no matter how much of an atheist you might be, you have been put on this earth to glorify God. Listen to this. The Bible declares that the universe, that is everything created, glorifies God, or at least is intended to glorify God. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day after day they pour out their speech." Isn't that funny? "And night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." The heavens declare the glory of God. I thought about that in my Looney Tune mentality, and I thought that's why, quite possibly, when we look at the moon, it's got a smiley face on it. When I look at that moon's smiling back at us. I've been in Russia several times, but I've never been in Russia on a full moon. I wonder if it's the same face on the backside of the world. I don't know. But on this side, anyway, he's smiling. Why is he smiling? Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's good news. The glory of God. Psalm 148. This is my favorite psalm this week. Psalm 148. The scripture says there, "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light." And the word there to praise in Hebrew is hallel, to shine, to shout, to celebrate. We are to give glory to God. Now, if the sun is rising this morning and its purpose is to give glory to God, and the stars last night, my goodness, up in the mountains at the men's retreat there, you walk outside at night and the stars were just awesome. And I walked to my car looking up like this with my neck because it was so beautiful. You see the Milky Way? The heavens declare the glory of God. And as wonderful as those bodies are that are suspended in space out there, giving glory to him, honor to him, shining and celebrating, as the word Hallel means, the fact of the matter is the greatest instrument that God has ever created to give him glory is the human. You know, there's a creation of God that's been upstaged by you. Can you believe this? You know, you and I get all excited about angels. Ooh, an angel. Or I think I saw an angel. Or an angel must have saved me in that intersection. There's an angel that saved us yesterday going to a funeral, to do a funeral, going down the 71 freeway. It had to be an angel. Some lunatic came up behind us at about 90 miles an hour and passed. And oncoming traffic, and the oncoming traffic swerved into the dirt. This guy didn't care. So, man, I got on the telephone, and I pulled over and called on the phone, and I called 911, CHP. I was so angry at this guy. Thank God that I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to tell you things like this, but if I would have had a gun, there would have been a drive-by shooting. In the Lord, you know. But he was going to kill somebody, and I got a hold of 911 CHP. And they said, "What's the problem?" I said, "There's a guy going down the 71 freeway, and he just, you know, and if you're here today, God loves you. But you're a sinner, you know?" And I told them, I said, "Listen, this guy's going to kill somebody. He could have killed quite a few families already in the cars. We saw the whites of their eyes, including our own, and this guy's crazy." And they asked me some questions about what the car and all this stuff. We got the license number and the exact description and all this stuff. And I told the lady, I said, "Now look, I got to be careful. I'm a Christian. I'm not judging this guy. He is going very fast and he's out of control. He either has to go to the bathroom very badly or he just robbed a bank." And she said, "We'll get on it right away." And I hung up the phone and I turned around and I stepped off the curb. There's a highway patrol car right there. And I said, "Listen, this guy just..." And I started telling him. And right over the radio, it came on the broadcast, and he just takes off after this guy. I felt so much like a citizen, you know. It was great. And why I got on that, I have no idea. We are to glorify God. That was not glorifying to God. Angels protecting us. Angels, beings that can just immediately be from one end of heaven to the other just by being in their nature that they are being spirit beings. Tremendous things. Angels that when we see them appear in the Bible, even Daniel himself, a great godly man, falls to his knees and feels and says and confess, "There's no strength within me," when I saw that angel. And yet, the Bible tells us, Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 14, that Lucifer, his name was Lucifer then, the greatest created being of all God's existence and work and creativity was Lucifer, the greatest angel ever made, who exercised his will against the will of God, and his name became Diablos, diabolical. Lucifer, then now the devil, Satan. And in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it tells us that when he moves, music comes out of him. He's got pipes that come out of his ribs, out of his side, and music flows forth from him. And that his hands, in his hands, there are timbrels. When Satan snaps his fingers or claps his hands, it sounds like a drum set. An amazing being. And you might think, how can I give glory to God? I don't have that. You know what? You have the privilege of being created in the image of God. You have a choice. You have been created to give glory to God. And I don't care what your position or your opinion is right now. You've been created to give glory to God. Psalm 8:3 says, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you would even think about him? I'll tell you who man is. Man is something much, much more by the creation of God to give him glory. God wants glory from you. In fact, the chief end of all things in the Westminster Lesser Catechism is this. The chief end of all things is to give glory to God. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him, that is God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to God be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Is that heavy? Glory. What does it mean to give glory to God? We're going to look at this. We're going to probably look at 8, maybe 10 things. And don't worry, we're going to cover one or two this morning that give glory to God. There's no greater study that we could have in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, than this one that we're going to be going through. What gives glory to God? What does it mean to do that? First of all, in your notes, jot this down. The word glory is the Greek word doxa. You've heard of the word doxology? And the word means to give absolute dignity, honor, and praise. That's the word glory. We're to give God absolute dignity, honor, and praise. In fact, it's the opening words of the New Testament. At Christmas time, we receive in our cards and letters, Luke 2:14, glory, absolute dignity, honor, and praise to God in the highest, and peace toward men of goodwill. Glory. The birth of Jesus Christ was announced. But we're going to look this morning at something that I think, and I hate to say this, I think every one of us are guilty of robbing God of his glory that's due his name. And we're going to look at the example in Scripture this morning. Look at verse 19, the latter point or part of verse 19. Last week we studied, and it says there, and when he, that is Herod Agrippa the First, went down from Judea to Caesarea, that's where he's at when this takes place, he stayed there. He lodged there. Caesarea is a wonderful place. It's got the great amphitheater that's there. We'll get into that in a moment, but it's the Rancho Mirage or Palm Springs of Israel. It's the only golf course in Israel, by the way, is in Caesarea. It's a very nice, beautiful place. It's the Newport Beach for us. Really neat place. Beautiful. Well, that's where Herod went to kick back. Check this out, verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Something happened to upset him. Something happened to cause them to be on his bad side. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, what a name, Blastus, but anyway, sounds like a pretty roughneck guy. Having made Blastus, who is the king's chamberlain, their friend, probably through some form of bribery, they asked him for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So they come to him in need. Watch what happens here. Verse 21, on the set day, or on a set day. You need to circle that in your Bible. We know this from historical accounts. On a set day. It's the second day of a celebration that was going on to honor Claudius Caesar. It's a very important day. We know from secular history, from Roman history, that they were having mini Olympics. They had all kinds of games going on a set day, a second day, we know from history. And historians tell us, Flavius Josephus, you can buy his writings. He's not a Christian, so if you're a skeptic, you're going to want to listen to this because he's like you. Josephus, who was there, said that on the second day it was the greatest gathering of people for the celebration of Claudius Caesar. And many thousands gathered in the amphitheater. He mentioned how it was a form of a mini-Olympic type setting. And so this amphitheater, very beautiful amphitheater that overlooks the Mediterranean Sea, they've unearthed parts of it even today. There, multitudes gathered. Herod Agrippa decides to enter in. These people want to meet with him. But what does Herod do? I'll pick the day of the greatest gathering. I'm already ticked off at them. They want something from me. He's going to take advantage of the situation. He's going to exploit his power. Listen, whenever you exploit your power that God has given you, you know, God gives you power, you know. Every one of you this morning has a power to influence someone. Every one of us. That's a horrible responsibility to have. How are you influencing people? Herod Agrippa's going to go in there, he's going to influence people, and he's got an agenda, and it's to exalt self. He's going to rob glory from God. It says there, on a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, and boy, does this not do it justice. Listen to this. Josephus writes, quote, "The opportunity to exalt himself could not have been more favorable. Present were the crowds, the Caesar, the surroundings, even the setting sun into the Mediterranean reflected off Herod's metallic robe woven from silver thread, as if he had descended from the gods." Can you imagine the sun's going down and the beautiful view, and he walks out in this robe that's been woven with real silver thread? The sun at setting hits this man, and he looks like a god. He's shining. You know, he looked like a CP3O kind of guy, I guess. He's just glowing, or, you know, the Wizard of Oz, something. It's just impressive. And you could just see him come out there, and everybody hailing and extolling, and Herod Agrippa, an arrogant megalomania that he is, megalomaniac standing there. "Aren't I great?" And he's wearing this incredible robe, a little bit overdressed for the occasion, because it's going to be an exciting delivery. He's all there in his pomp and glory, his swank and his arrogance. You ever seen it? Have you ever seen people like that? You see it in ministries a lot. It's terribly disgusting. It's sad and it's sickening. I've shared with you many times about the priest that we saw in Russia at Red Square, who was so arrogant. You could feel it in the atmosphere and the way he walked and the way he moved. And it was like, oh gosh. Arrogance, pride, hypocrisy. Herod is gloating in this and he loves it. And the sun is setting and he's gleaming. He looks so great. People in the crowd began to say, "CNR?" He looks through his wardrobe. And, you know, those guys had caterers everywhere they went. They had guys to wipe the right hand and the left hand. "What do you think I should wear?" Nobody had to suggest to him. He opened up his closet and said, "I know what I'm wearing. Those guys want my attention. I'm going to show them who's in control. I'm going to look like a god when I go out there." And I think he believed he was a god. But look at verse 22. "And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not a man. The voice of a god and not a man.'" Do you read anywhere in here where Herod said, "Now don't say that. Give glory to God and him alone"? Oh no, he loved it. He just dug it. He probably went, "A little louder, take it from the top." "The voice of a god and not a man." He loved it. And listen, by not denying the glory that was being offered up to him, he receives it. If somebody praises you, you better give glory to God, because if you don't, you're guilty of receiving it. Every Christian ought to be very careful about that. Oh, that was this, or that was that. Hey, by the grace of God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, pray for us. Don't take it. It'll devastate your heart. And besides that, it'll make yourself an imposter of God Himself. You cannot take glory for what God is doing in your life. God is using you, and you can't think, well, you know, it's because I've studied hard, or it's because of this, or it's because I'm nice, or it's because of this, or the other thing. You can't do that. Paul says, there go I, but for the grace of God. We need to be careful about giving glory to God and not to man. But we can be an imposter. Herod was acting in the place of an imposter. The Bible warns us that if we receive glory, we're actually taking a position to ourselves. Jot this down in your notes or right off to the side of verse 22. Revelation 13, verse 18, concerning the Antichrist. The Bible tells us there, if you have wisdom, understand this. Calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666, which is a triunity of earth. It is a triunity of man's attempt to be God. And the Hebrew understands, the Jew will understand the book of Revelation very well. The number 666 is a man declaring himself to be God. That's what Herod's doing right now. It's to stand as an imposter or an antichrist. That's what the word means. Antichrist, an imposter Messiah. Satan loves this. Satan will eventually in the last days live out his ultimate fantasy. You know his ultimate fantasy is? He tried to do it with Hitler. He tried to do it through Mussolini. He tried to do it with Antiochus Epiphanes. He's trying to do it right now through Herod. And that is live out his fantasy through a man, as that man is extolled and lifted up as God. And Satan, think of this in your mind. It's so sickening. Satan will be behind the eyes, inside of the Antichrist. He will be back there inside the man. The Bible teaches us that he will be physically possessed by Satan, the Antichrist.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Glorifies God? A look at the last six verses of the book of Acts, chapter 12. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more in this mini-series. Remember that earlier this fall, in fact on 9/11, to be more specific, we had three former Islamic terrorists speak here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Kamal Salim, Zachariah Anani, and Waleed Shubat, who will also be participating in the upcoming Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference in January. Now, of course, this program airs in many different parts of North America and the world, so if you weren't able to make it, no problem. We've set it up so that you will receive the riveting DVD for a tax-deductible gift to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for 3X Terrorists Speak Out. 3X Terrorists Speak Out is the title of this DVD. Now, the information presented by these three former Muslim terrorists is actually quite alarming. We're not trying to stir up the hornet's nest. It's just that everyone should view this DVD, and not just Christians. You see, they addressed that which is happening not just globally, but what is also occurring within our borders right now. Just how important is the information in this DVD? Local law enforcement helped to provide security for the evening, then requested several copies for their own departments. 3X Terrorists Speak Out for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. You can go to realradioactive.org to learn more about the DVD. realradioactive.org. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.